NBC Monitor News on the Hour, brought to you by the Oak Flooring Institute. When you buy a home, be sure it has a real floor. Insist on oak floors. Here is Paul Duke.
The communist offensive in Vietnam now has gone into its fourth week with no sign of any let-up. In the latest action, several enemy rockets have been fired into Saigon, two landing in heavily populated sectors. Three others struck in the vicinity of a petroleum dump, causing a huge fire. It's unclear how much damage was caused by this latest assault or the number of casualties. The communist offensive was the main topic at a meeting of the National Security Council at the White House. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird, just back from Vietnam, briefed the council on his findings, but it's not known whether any decisions were made about a U.S. response to the enemy's stepped-up attacks. The president also took time out today to address the National Alliance for Businessmen, a group dedicated to getting jobs for unemployed ghetto residents. Mr. Nixon said, "Only through jobs can the nation's poor achieve security and dignity. Welfare is not enough." Then he expressed concern over the problem of unemployed young people.
"I don't need to tell this group of employers that the unemployment rate for youth, of course, is always higher than adults in any country, industrial or otherwise. In the United States, it's three times as high. But the sad part of the statistic is that unemployment among youth in the United States is higher than in any industrial country in the world. Now, this, of course, poses the problem, and it also poses the challenge and the opportunity for this group."
President Nixon addressing the National Alliance of Businessmen. More news after this from the Oak Flooring Institute.
The Oak Flooring Institute is pleased to announce that oak floors are in again. In fact, they've never been out. For a time, though, when the wall-to-wall urge rolled across the country, some people actually covered up their beautiful oak floors with the monotonous one-color look of wall-to-wall carpeting. But today's leading interior designers have started a trend back to exposed oak floors and area rugs, and floors have started to swing again. These designers like the look of rich-colored oriental rugs on gleaming oak floors, or bright contemporary accent rugs on dark finished oak. Whatever you want to do with a room, however you want to decorate it, oak fits right in. Its beautiful grain and coloring brings the warmth of nature into any setting. New urethane finishes make oak floors easier than ever to care for. And oak's beauty is permanent. You'll never have to replace your oak floors. If you're buying a new home, don't get caught in the wall-to-wall fad. Insist on a floor that's always in style. Oak. You don't take a chance with oak floors. Once again, Paul Duke.
Ships are making news today. Coast Guard planes are searching the Atlantic for a 200-foot tug missing since last Tuesday after running into a storm. A short while ago, a Liberian freighter, the Royal Star, radioed it was being threatened by mutiny, with five crewmen trying to take over the vessel in the ocean off Brazil. Bad weather has delayed a search in the Gulf of Mexico for another Liberian freighter carrying 34 persons missing since Friday night. NBC News asked Lieutenant Robert Polson of the Coast Guard Rescue Center in New Orleans if he was sure the ship was sunk.
We don't have any definite proof that it sunk, but it hasn't come into port. We did receive an SOS from it, and we haven't been able to locate it. The main reason we can't really confirm this is due to the lack of visibility in that area. We have severe weather almost the whole Gulf. We have small craft warnings from Brownsville all the way over to the district line at Apalachicola, Florida. In the particular area, there's about 10-foot seas and is all around 20, 25 knots of wind. So it's pretty rough out there.
Coast Guard Lieutenant Robert Polson in New Orleans. More in a moment.
This is David Frost. Recently, a gentleman called me and said, "Hey, I heard you say on the radio that low-cost State Farm life insurance could pay off a mortgage or help put a kid through college. Then you suggested that people get some from their State Farm agent. I sure was glad to hear that." "Because you're looking for life insurance?" I asked. "No," he replied, "because I'm a State Farm agent."
For your life, your car, your home, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
At the United Nations, Secretary General Thant met with Israeli Foreign Minister Abba Ibn today and said afterward he expects the Big Four talks on the Mideast to begin next week. Each side accuses the other of starting the latest skirmish between Russian and Chinese soldiers along the Manchurian border. China says the fighting is continuing, but there are no further reports. Again, the hour's top story, the communist offensive in Vietnam has entered its fourth week, with the enemy resuming its rocket assaults against Saigon. Paul Duke, NBC News, reporting.
Listen again on the hour when State Farm brings you NBC Monitor News. On Monitor, Manfredo Fest, Misturada. Here's a quick question for good citizens. We have a new Postmaster General. What's his name? If you know it, congratulations. If you don't, cheer up. We'll be meeting him in a few moments. First, a vocal offering by the young man with the longest name and the bushiest sideburns in showbiz, Engelbert Humperdinck. Love Can Fly.
As the summer sky turns to gray, as the sailboat slack in the wind, your love seemed to die, and now I cry. Oh, the bright golden days that I knew when I first met you, and my sun would shine. This whole world was mine, but love can fly on broken wings.
Bye. 7 through sometime around 3 o'clock at night. I had fallen asleep and all of a sudden waking up and seeing myself in the left lane and seeing a semi-tractor trailer coming straight at me. I don't know what woke me up. Maybe it was the...
When you're tired, don't drive. When you're rested, but the monotony of driving makes you drowsy, pull over, take a break, and take 2 for the road. 2 no-dose action aids. They've got the strongest stimulant you can buy without a prescription, yet they're not habit-forming. No-dose action aids. No car should be without them.
Since the early days of our history, the United States Post Office Department has been a source of political patronage. Well, the new administration claims that this is no longer true, and the new Postmaster General, Winton Blunt, repeated this claim to NBC newsman Richard Valeriani.
General Blunt, how much of a role has political patronage traditionally played in your department?
Well, since the beginning of the operation of this department, since, as a matter of fact, Benjamin Franklin was the first Postmaster General, they've had patronage in this department, and it's been from the top to the bottom and from side to side, as a matter of fact. It's been very influential, particularly in the last few years.
What jobs especially does this affect?
Well, it has actually affected all the jobs. As you know, President Nixon announced that we would no longer use the advisor system in selection of postmasters or rural carriers. Actually, the effect of this is much more far-reaching than just the postmasters and rural carriers, because that's the policy we've instituted throughout the department. One of the problems about the patronage and the advisor system was that the career employee, in most instances, never applied for a job as postmaster or rural carrier because he knew he wouldn't have a chance to get it unless he knew a congressman or a senator, and very few of them do. So that this was quite a disincentive to the career employees, and we feel that removing these barriers is a marvelous incentive for the career employees that this department depends upon. It's raised morale tremendously.
What kind of a reaction have you had from congressmen and local politicians who have traditionally used the post office department as part of the spoil system?
Well, when we first made this announcement, there was some objection on the part of a few congressmen. But I really think what you have to remember is that, as the president said, it's always the party out of power that calls for removing politics from the post office department, not the party of in power. And I think the Republican Party, the president, and the Republican members of Congress that did, in fact, give up this patronage, give up the privilege of making these appointments, they deserve a lot of credit for doing away with politics in the post office department.
You think, then, your program is going to succeed in this regard?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that, but it's in effect now. And I think, by and large, we have overwhelming support in the Congress for this.
Thank you very much, Postmaster General Winton Blunt.
Here's music by the pint-sized Betula Clark, a brand new one called Happy Heart.
There's a certain sun always follows me around. When you're close to me, you will hear it. Hear the sound that lovers finally discover when there is no other.
17 minutes after the hour, friends. A good time to remind you that you're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Joe O'Brien. An undersea habitat to serve as the first sea lab of its kind for Canadian scientists is on display as a free public exhibit now through March 21st. It's on the campus of Polytechnic Institute of Brooklyn. And ORT, that's the Organization for Rehabilitation Through Training, will have a fashion show of garments made by ORT students in various ORT schools called A Double Date with ORT, Wednesday, March 19th at 8:15 in the evening at Parkside Plaza. That's at 53 East Mount Eaton Avenue in the Bronx, to which all are invited. And the 13th annual North Jersey Science and Mathematics Fair is being held on the TNEC campus of Fairleigh Dickinson University, Saturday and Sunday, March 22nd and 23rd. Come and see some of the remarkable projects our secondary school students have developed in the fields of science and mathematics. Hours are from 1:30 to 4 p.m., and admission is free. That's the North Jersey Science and Mathematics Fair, TNEC campus of Fairleigh Dickinson University. WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Frank Sinatra has been afflicted off and on with probably the worst press in the history of showbiz. Part of the reason for it has been that he lives according to his own rules, and he states that philosophy pretty clearly in his latest, My Way.
And now, the end is here, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got if not himself? Then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blow and did it my way.
Monitor, and just ahead we'll hear from John Burns on some of the methods being successfully used in the treatment of narcotics addiction.
Hi, this is Marilyn May with the one and only Ella Fitzgerald singing my Lincoln Mercury song. This is a first.
Will everyone here kindly step to the rear and let a winner lead the way? See Lincoln Mercury's exciting marquee. It's pure luxury. Drive one. When a marquee is lush, handsome, roomy, and plush, in a continental way. Its stunning design really sets 69. It's the hottest new line of today. makes it clear we've got the winners this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way.
Thanks, Ella Fitzgerald. It's a great way to tell everybody about Marquee, the most beautiful thing that ever happened to a medium-priced car. Marquee, at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Why people become addicted to drugs is still something of a mystery to medical science. But how they can be induced to give up the use of narcotics is gradually becoming a little bit clearer, as we hear now from John Burns, noted authority on drug abuse.
One of the few programs that has had any appreciable results with curing drug addicts is the Synanon Foundation of California. Founded 10 years ago, Synanon has effectively cured over 1,000 hardcore addicts, and its basic concepts are being adopted by many others throughout the country. Synanon operates in the belief that addiction is based on a character disorder, and that addiction can be cured sociologically by group interaction, by forming a family-type environment. It takes Synanon an average of 2 years to rehabilitate a drug addict. This long period is needed to raise the addict's emotional level from that of a young child to young adulthood, and also to help him cross that thin line which makes an addict enjoy being responsible far more than being irresponsible. A tall order, to be sure, and one that calls for drastic and jarring experiences to be interjected into the daily life of the resident addict. The following true incident may best illustrate the dramatic but necessary methods used by Synanon to help accomplish these changes in character. A young resident addict named Jerry was assigned to peeling potatoes one morning. All of a sudden, Jerry stopped his work and flatly refused to continue. A normal situation with new residents who find it difficult to stay with any one task for more than a few minutes. He was then lifted bodily off the kitchen stool and raced up 3 flights of stairs to the house study, where 6 fellow addicts assisted the director in conducting what Synanon refers to as a haircut session. They began by shaving all of Jerry's hair off his head. Then a sign saying, "I'm a stupid, childish dope fiend," was tied around his neck. For the next 3 hours, he was given a severe verbal tongue-lashing by all 7 participants. They stressed his immaturity, selfishness, and lack of concern for the well-being of his fellow residents. Following this, they devoted an hour to his good points and commented favorably upon his progress to date. Jerry was returned to the kitchen, a bit shaken, but well aware he had taken one more step towards his rehabilitation. Jerry went through several more haircut sessions in the next 2 years, in addition to participating in a nightly group therapy meeting called the Synanon Game. As he progressed, he was given more responsible positions at the Synanon-owned motel and gas station. Today, he has completed his high school education, is married, and has been off all drugs for 3 years. The case of this once hopelessly addicted young man is an illustration of a basic Synanon principle, that the use of drugs is a symptom of a deeper problem. They feel that once you cure the symptoms, you can deal with the deeper problems. This is John Burns for Monitor.
Shapes to come.
And now the dance of the Sucral Plum Fairies.
You're too much.
To avoid extra calories, Sucral's the thing. It's America's leading no-calorie sweetener with a patented made-to-taste-like-sugar formula. Get the real thing, Sucral. The sweetener with a patent on good taste.
If it isn't Sucral, it's a no-no.
Orchestra, Sweet Charity. You're tuned to Nationwide Monitor, and if you're doing your weekend listening in southern New Hampshire, your NBC station is WTSV in Claremont. You knew that. We'll be with you again shortly. My name is H. Morgan.
Eating, Glenn.
I'm having a delicious Wetzel's hamburger.
Mmm, it's great.
Does it really taste that good?
Don't be naive. A Wetzel's hamburger is a triumph of culinary art.
Do you really think that Wetzel's serves the finest hamburgers in the whole world?
Naturally, nothing's too good for me.
You always eat at Wetzel's, don't you, Glenn?
Of course, only the best people eat at Wetzel's.
You know something, Glenn?
What?
You're a gourmet.
You love Wetzel's, taste and happiness on a bun.
All gourmets eat Wetzel's fish filet sandwich, topped with Wetzel's special tartar sauce dressing. It's fantastic. It's at Wetzel's. In Stamford, Connecticut, there's a Wetzel's on Hope Street near Colonial Road. In Brooklyn, New York, a Wetzel's is located on Flatbush Avenue and Avenue U. And for the Wetzel's near you, check the phone book.
Jack Hayes has something you want. Weekdays, noon to 3, on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
This is Frank Oren, WNBC News. It's 5:30, 43 degrees in New York and partly cloudy. A big ocean-going tugboat missing since Tuesday in heavy seas off Bermuda in the Atlantic has been found. The Coast Guard says the tug has been spotted 35 miles due east of Bermuda and is expected to arrive in Hamilton at about 7 p.m. this evening. The spokesman said everyone is apparently okay aboard the ship. There were 20 crew members aboard the big ocean-going tug. The Coast Guard in New York says it has received a report of a mutiny aboard a Liberian freighter, Royal Star. The report said five crewmen were attempting to sabotage the ship and take over. The Brazilian Navy reports it has dispatched a vessel to intercept the freighter. The Coast Guard spokesman believes the ship is about 300 miles off the Brazilian coast en route from Santos, Brazil, to Port Everglades, Florida. A freighter with a crew of 34 apparently sank in the rain-swept Gulf of Mexico, and a seagoing tug with 20 persons aboard, as we just pointed out, has been found, and with the 20 persons aboard apparently all right, due in Bermuda at about 7 p.m. this evening. New York City Council President Francis Smith today urged Mayor Lindsay and the Board of Education to adopt a 10-point program aimed at cracking down on agitators in the school system. Smith is calling for immediate suspension of students who take part in disorders, expulsion of those found guilty of attacking other students or teachers, and legal action against parents who refuse to send their children to school. Smith wants the mayor to discuss the proposal when he meets tomorrow with school supervisors. Mayor Lindsay has again criticized the three-shift work schedule for police. In a statement released today, Lindsay says the 60-year-old state law has resulted in a tragic waste of manpower. The mayor wants a fourth shift between 6 p.m. and 2 a.m. when 47% of all major crimes occur. A federal jury in New York has found union official Milton Silverman guilty of contributing union funds to the 1965 mayoral campaign of Abraham Beam. Silverman is president of Teamsters Local 810 and business manager of Electrical Workers Local 1614. Sentencing is set for April 25th. He could get 27 years in jail plus fines. Police converged on a house in Whitestone, Queens early this morning, arrested two men and a woman, and seized an estimated $10 million worth of cocaine and heroin. 19-year-old Ronald Nelson, who died last night in a New York hospital, he was one of six patients who received organ transplants from a single donor last month. Doctors say Nelson's transplanted kidney functioned well to the end and that death was attributed to other complications. The State Parks Commission today announced plans for a 30-acre park to be built atop a proposed water pollution control plant along the Hudson River in Harlem. The park would include a stadium, an amphitheater, athletic fields, and a swimming pool. It will cost $20 million and will be located between 125th and 155th Streets. 19-year-old Barbara Jo Rubin rode to victory again today at the Big A. The lady jockey scored aboard Mayberry in the first race, paying $7.24 and $3.40. Yesterday, Barbara Jo won the third race at Aqueduct on Brave Galaxy.
The enemy has fired 7 rockets into Saigon and its environments, causing little damage. It is the 5th rocket attack on Saigon since the beginning of the new enemy offensive. First reports account for only 1 wounded. 3 rockets hit a Shell petroleum dump 5 miles from downtown Saigon. Sources say the Nixon administration probably will not add to the U.S. offensive missile force unless arms control talks with the Soviet Union fail. Nixon security planners believe the escalating American missile strength would spoil chances of agreement with the Russians on limiting nuclear weapons. The weather in New York, partly sunny today and tomorrow, the high both days in the mid-40s. It will be fair tonight with a low around 30. Right now it's 43 degrees and sunny in New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor. Right here, here's Monitor. My name is Morgan. We'll be continuing our week-long examination of postal service and related matters in just a few moments. Here's Anthony Newley with his latest, his own composition, incidentally, I'm All I Need.
A man is alone from the day he's born to the dawn of his last goodbye. And if anyone tells you anything else, he's selling you the same old lie. I need no God, I believe no dreams, and it seems that I've always known that we laugh and cry, that we hope and sigh, that we live and we die alone. I'm all I need. If I've got me, I've got rainbows. If I've got me, just to see how the rain goes away. 'Cause I got somebody who cares, someone who shares my company. Don't anything but pity on my plate. I'm standing straight, nice and pretty. While I got me, I got a sky full of Dubai. When did you see someone as lucky as me?
Take along Miller High Life Beer in champagne golden cans and find out for yourself why
Miller makes it right. Miller makes it right.
Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee.
Thank you.
those songs. King Richard's Flugel Knights. Now, a quick geography quiz. If you hear the postman whistling outside your front door some morning, you look out and you see a man in a beret, a beard, dark glasses and sandals. Where are you? Right, San Francisco. And here with a story from the Bay City is reporter Barry Simmons.
San Francisco has the seventh largest postal department in the country, with four major problems constantly plaguing it. Service, turnover, hills, and hippies. Starting with service, there are the usual delays in delivery and a steady rash of wrong deliveries. Postal authorities defend themselves, though, saying people fail to realize one fact, that the Postal Department's primary obligation is to deliver the mails once a day, 6 days a week, rain or shine, sometime between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Turnover of postal workers in San Francisco is high. Postal authorities say they yearn for the day when a more stable complement of letter carrier earning better wages can be realized. And the steep hills of San Francisco present challenging problems to mailmen. For a while, they are intriguing challenges, but later, workers bid on other jobs or quit. Always the center of controversy, the hippie letter carrier. Complaints are numerous, but postal spokesmen are quick to admit that most of the hippies do a good job and have an unblemished record. However, one hippie postal worker, fired because of his appearance, has gone to the courts in hopes of a ruling that the loss of his job is unconstitutional. It's a test case. Finally, the San Francisco Post Office has a batch of gripes from people about the mod uniform of the lady mail carriers. The complaint, the miniskirts are too short and unbecoming. The Post Office response, it's contemporary, so it stays. This is Barry Simmons in San Francisco for Monitor.
A little more Monitor music, Sandy Shaw's latest, Monsieur Dupont.
The rain was falling down as I flew out of town. I went to Paris for the day. And there I got to know a certain Romeo with a gentle continent away. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me see so tenderly that I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont, I know it's wrong, but I don't ever wanna go home anymore. You said hello to me, and I began to sing like a poem. I seem to realize the kind of paradise your continental kiss could lead me to. Monsieur Dupont, Monsieur Dupont, you made me see so tenderly, but I was never loved before. Monsieur Dupont,
talking about mail this weekend. Did you know that the zip code system started only 6 years ago? Seems like 60, doesn't it? Now, 8 out of 10 pieces of mail carry zip classification. The other 2 out of 10 are accounted for, of course, by people like me, who forget their zip codes, their social security numbers, their phone numbers, and occasionally their home addresses and their own names. This one I remember. You're on the Monitor Beacon.
This is Charlie Brown. All I said was I like to keep things moving with music, news, weather, ski, and traffic reports. And boy, did I get told where to go.
This is the place, WNBC Radio 660, where Charlie Brown makes things move weekdays 3 to 7 p.m.
Unfair housing isn't unfair. It's illegal. This is Chico Hamilton. If anybody has refused to rent or sell your house or an apartment because you were black, yellow, Puerto Rican, Jewish, or whatever, they're breaking the Fair Housing Law of 1968. What you can do is write Fair Housing, Washington, D.C., zip code 20410. When the law says anybody can live anywhere, the law means anywhere, baby, anywhere.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York.
Stan Kenton used to say to musicians, if you can really swing, your wife won't be weighted down with mink, but there'll always be a place for you. Stan himself has had a rather secure place in music for a couple of decades or so. He talked about that and the current music scene with reporter Joe Hyder.
Well, Stan, it's most nice to see you once again and to recall what somebody said to me about the music of Stan Kenton about 20 years ago when they said that this man is way ahead of his time with his musicianship. I just wonder now if music has caught up with Stan Kenton in 67.
Yeah, no, I guess that would be a compliment, but I think, Joe, it's very difficult for anybody to be ahead of their time, no matter what kind of endeavor they're in. It's always easy to kind of speculate as to what might happen in the future, but I think most of us have a hard time keeping up with the present day, let alone get ahead.
Well, it's been a lot of years that Stan Kenton has been on the music scene, hasn't it?
Yeah, the band was started in 1941.
How do you find, Stan, in this day and age, good young musicians to fill the bill?
Well, I think, Joe, there are more musicians and better musicians, and they're younger, really, than ever before. I find that the young musicians today are very well educated. They are more dedicated than the older guys. They work harder, and they are. It's just fantastic. It's a thrill to see them come along. And I think possibly the reason is that some of the universities and conservatories in the last few years have finally decided that they'd better start teaching the American approach to modern music as well as they teach the traditional European approach to music, and that's what's helping build musicians.
Well, now, in other words, the young people that are playing with your orchestra, with the Basie Orchestra, with the Goodman Orchestra, these are, for the most part, people who are coming out of our schools and universities, Stan?
Yes, I think so. I was just talking to somebody this afternoon. I think that almost everybody in the band that I have currently has a degree in music from some institution or other.
In other words, this is a thing that didn't prevail, say, 25 years ago.
No, it didn't. A long time ago, I know when I was a kid, a guy would go down to a hock shop, he'd buy a saxophone, and 2 weeks later he had a job working in some beer joint somewhere, as long as he knew some of the jazz numbers, you know. But it's not that way anymore. A musician today has to be all things, really. It used to be that a musician was either a jazz musician or he was a traditional classical musician, but that, of course, does not exist anymore. There's no one that really can supply the needs made on modern musicians unless they understand both schools of music.
Why do you think that the Stan Kenton Orchestra has survived for these low 25 years, whereas some of the other bands, orchestras, have not hung on and have been as prominent as you have?
Well, I don't think that... I think that what I should say that the bands that have constantly dealt with jazz music are much better off today than those that were trying to supply the commercial demands of hotel music or commercial dance music, because the jazz music and the musicians that the orchestras that have hung on, like Ellington and Basie and Herman and some of those bands, including our own, are rather fortunate, because jazz is not a fad. It's here to stay.
Somebody said to me that Stan Kenton's music today is the same, similar to as to the music he played, say, 20 years ago, and they described it as psychedelic. Would they be right?
I think the modern music, a lot of it is psychedelic. We usually associate the word psychedelic with rock and roll and some of the modern movements, but in any kind of music where it has a little bit more dimension and demands a little bit more on your creative fantasies yourself to communicate with it, I'd say is bordering on psychedelic.
To be perfectly honest about the whole thing, you don't really think the big bands are coming back, do you, Stan?
Well, I don't think they'll ever come back like they used to be, in as much as you hear people say, one of the bands coming back, I think in their minds they are dreaming of possibly rehearing the music that they heard a number of years ago, and I don't think that'll ever happen, and it shouldn't happen, because people's demands today are greater, and they're different, and it takes a greater brand of music to satisfy their aesthetic needs. I think bands are gaining in popularity, but I don't like to use the expression bands are coming back.
Stan Kenton, it's always a delight to see you, to listen to your music, and most importantly, to talk to you on Monitor.
Thank you, Joe.
Stan Kenton, ladies and gentlemen, this is Joe Hyder for Monitor.
Marimba Band, new song called Foul Play, F-O-W-L. And on that note, we bring you news of a scientific discovery. It's been reported that chickens of all breeds in all countries communicate in a common language. Chicken talk is based on subtle variations of 35 different phrase themes, a foul version of China's tonal linguistic system. So it's nothing to cluck about, but I bet you never heard it before. And please don't write for a copy of the foregoing information unless you want to lay an egg at your next cocktail party. News coming up. Cluck, cluck. This is Morgan.